now we have Jamil Dakwar from the who is the director of the Human Rights Program at the American Civil Liberties Union, and he is going to discuss with us this this report that just was issued last Friday from the UN Committee on Torture. Jamil, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you share with our listeners the general details, some of the most salient details in this report from the UN Committee on Torture?
So the Committee Against Torture reviewed the United States' record on eliminating torture, cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment last month. There were two-day session in Geneva, and just last Friday issued its concluding observations. Essentially, these are the findings of how the U.S. is doing as far as combating torture and other cruelty. And the report was really scathing. It was very strong in criticizing the U.S. for the failure of upholding the prohibition of torture, especially highlighting three or four major issue areas. One is in the area of national security, where the committee, while commending the Obama administration on closing down secret facilities by the CIA, it has not gone far enough to hold officials accountable. In the second area, there was really concern about the use of excessive force by law enforcement and police brutality. The committee, by the way, heard testimony from Mike Brown's parents in Geneva last month, and that was echoed in its recommendations as well, the fact that they were concerned about lack of accountability and transparency for policing, particularly in the context of minority communities. And the third area was briefly in the area of abusive criminal justice practices, especially the widespread use of solitary confinement. The committee raised concern about the use of solitary confinement and recommended to ban the solitary confinement against juveniles, pregnant women, and even ban the regime of solitary confinement in supermax prisons. This was a very strong recommendation that came out. And the fourth area, major area, was in the area of immigration detention, where the committee was expressed also deep concerns about the expansion of family detention, particularly as a result of the humanitarian crisis and the flow of unaccompanied minors coming from Central America and Mexico to the United States, and had many recommendations as to how to improve the United States record to protect asylum seekers from being sent back to countries where they could be subject to torture and persecution.
And what was the genesis of this report? What made why was the reason for writing this? What prompted it?
The United States ratified the Convention Against Torture in 1994, and under the convention, it is required to report every 5 years on progress made to implement and adhere to the convention. Essentially, what are the laws, policies, and what are the actions that have been taken by the government to implement the treaty, and all levels, in the national, federal level, as well as the state and local levels. So every 5 years, the U.S. government sends a report to the committee in Geneva, and the committee is a body of independent experts. So these are people who were appointed by different governments who are party to the treaty, but they act in their personal capacity as experts on torture and human rights, so they don't represent any particular country. And this process takes place, again, usually every 5 or 6 years. When there's a delay in submission of the report, there's usually a delay. The last time the United States was reviewed was in 2006. And as part of this review, the United States submits a report. It's called a periodic report to the committee, outlining all the different actions that the United States has taken, how it addressed the previous recommendations. Then it is the U.S. government sends a delegation to Geneva. And it, in fact, on the 12th and the 13th of last month, a high-level delegation went to Geneva representing different agencies and presented the U.S. report. Now, civil society organizations, NGOs like the ACLU, the U.S. Human Rights Network, and many other organizations, in fact, there were more than 80 individuals representing many, many organizations from the United States, had a chance to submit alternative reports to the committee. And the committee often uses this source of information as a way to probe and raise questions and to engage the U.S. government on their compliance with the convention.
And so, was it at all surprising that the UN committee would comment on police violence in the U.S.?
For some people, it was not counterintuitive, or it was not clear how the torture convention applies to police practices. But in fact, this particular committee and under the convention, it has in the past looked at cases of police brutality, particularly when people were killed by excessive use of force, as a form of torture. But more importantly, this committee and under international standards, police brutality, including racial profiling, any police misconduct, would fall under the prohibition against cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment. And as such, is also prohibited, and the United States has to take action in order to prevent these actions.
Hmm.
It was clear to the U.S. government that they have the obligations, and in fact, the United States government had to answer questions about accountability measures. And unfortunately, these answers were not adequate. The U.S. Justice Department said that they opened more than 20 investigations into police departments. There were so-called pattern practice investigations, and they said that they brought charges against over 330 police officers for criminal misconduct, but they declined to provide more specifics. What are those cases about? What happened to these cases? Were there any verdicts? How many were found guilty? How many of them were for the use of force by law enforcement, especially against people of color? So there were many questions unanswered in this review, and our aim is to use the report that was issued on Friday to follow up and to build on the momentum and that has been going on, especially with the movement calling for police reform, to address these unanswered questions as how the United States fulfills its obligations under this treaty and other human rights treaties.
Do you feel that the UN has any real power or authority over the United States? I mean, is this report going to mean anything?
These reports are not legally binding, so there's no enforcement mechanism. The UN doesn't have the power to send in, peacekeeping troops or Blue Hamlet people who would enforce these recommendations or these observations. But they carry strong political and moral weight. They carry the weight of the United States is considered one of the leading countries championing human rights all over the world. It's presenting itself as an example for countries that respect the rule of law and human rights and championing human rights. So for that, in order for this to have credibility, I think this report is really damning, and in this report it has a lot of weight as far as shedding light on the gap between United States practices and laws and policies and international standards, especially in areas where really the U.S. is out of step with the rest of the world. I mean, if you look at the criminal justice matters of the treatment of people in the criminal justice system, in prisons, the use of solitary confinement, the death penalty, these are really egregious violations that don't they don't see any equivalent in countries, especially in Western democracies. So for that matter, these recommendations matter in terms of holding the United States accountable to not only what it preaches abroad, but also to treaty obligations that it committed to uphold. That's something that I think it still has meaning. The United States, after all, under the U.S. Constitution, ratified treaties as so considered supreme law of the land, and as such, I think people should give them more significance.